John 14 and 15, which I didn't do that afternoon, but I've since read some of those, read those two chapters. And he was talking about that God wants each of us to be in a direct personal relationship with him. And then we talked a little about how does have some of you experience God's communicating with you. Like him, as he shared last week, I personally have not heard God's voice. I haven't had any direct communication that I can say, oh, that was from God. But we each have a lot of different ways we've had communication. And as I think Rob or Ernie both have talked about, a prophet is really sent when the people have kind of veered off from where they need to be. That they're not where they need to be. So sometimes we want to cling to the, as a church organization, well, we have this prophet. Well, I'm not sure that's a real compliment. That may be we've really lost the way. And Ernie talked about the fact that would there be another prophet that would come to the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Well, if it happens, it may be because we've lost the way. So to me, what Ernie was talking about was really critical in the sense of, Rob was talking about last week, is understanding what God desires with each of us, and that's a relationship. And we shared some of the experiences that you personally have as far as how you believe God communicates with you. And I didn't know if some of you had other thought of that and would like to share that, because I believe it's important to identify how are you in a relationship with God and how does God create a relationship with you and what kind of things. I mean, like I said last week, I don't have the experience of seeing it or having God say, oh, this is a message from God where he spoke to me or where something, but I've had a lot of things that I look back upon and say, wow, how did that all work together? How did those things come together that way? And I believe I can see God's presence. And that inspires me today in my life to see, okay, I see how things have worked. Now how am in this time of stress or this time of anxiety or this time of frustration, how is it going to be today? To me, that's a powerful way to live our lives, is recognizing how things have worked together. Any of you have had experiences that you'd like to share about how you see God's working and creating a relationship with you? Some way that there's been a... Charles talked last week as to experiences where he's had a voice and attributes that to God talking to him and helping a direction. And that's a powerful thing. And you know, you look back upon those things and now you say, wow, look at how that's worked in those things. And it, to me, that's an exciting thing to see how things work together.
You know, I two special ways the Lord works and talks to me all the time. One is through music. I love and I'm very particular of the songs. The songs have to minister to me and reflect out to others so I know that I'm singing not just words but testimony to the Lord. So music plays a really pivotal part of my life. I haven't really sung as much since moving to Texas as I have in the past, but I absolutely am consumed by music because I just feel when I sing, I am at God's throne. So whatever I sing, I choose wisely that the message has to be glorified. That's one way. Another way is, and I asked the Lord for this a long time ago, in order to have that strong faith, that means I have to go. Really, I mean, I remember when I asked the Lord for that faith, I was really young, and I didn't realize what I was asking for, but as the experiences rolled into my life, I realized that it's not about me, and I just depend on him, where he has brought me. I'm just getting emotional to think that I've been through a lot,
sure.
But God has just never put tests and trials so that I can tell the experience to people one-on-one. I'm not going to stand up and tell all the stories. I'm going to bring somebody into my vicinity, and it's my responsibility to share high exercise. God got me through that.
Can the rest of you identify with that? You see where you've had certain experiences, and through those experiences you realize it was really an opportunity. You grow in your relationship with God. I think that is really a powerful thing to look at, is how through experiences we we really do create the opportunity to really strengthen our faith. Go ahead. I'm coming close so I can pick this up.
And I was sitting
laps you want to run. Many times you say, I'm not sure. I mean, what did Kevin talk about this morning? Moses. Oh, not me. No, wait. That's part of what we read about Ellen White. She said, could maybe somebody else do this? And that, I think we all have to realize that is part of our human experience. Fear. And sometimes we don't recognize how the fear is part of that process of taking that step out. But we want to say, oh, is something there? Am I going to be okay? And God says, take that step. Take that step. Anybody else want to share before we pick up with some of the thoughts from the lesson?
Seventy.
thing that I'm challenged by when I read this is, I don't think I choose the Sabbath. I choose God, and in relationship to God, I worship, I honor the Sabbath. And I think that's a little, I think this is what I remember as a kid growing up. Oh, we're different. We're always different. And I think that's a great thing to learn how to be different. But sometimes our differences is the way we separate ourselves. When I read this, I think it's just talking about we should have everything of uplifting Christ before the world. It should be the Christians that are uplifting Christ. And this to me is a little like we're uplifting the Sabbath. Now, I don't want to be critical. That's not my intent. I read the man's story, and it's a wonderful story that he in his experience of how he had to really make a decision about what he decided to do. And he was in Russia going to school, and they went 6 days a week, and he decided not to go on Saturday because that was his Sabbath. And so, it's a wonderful story, and I love the story. I love the experience, but I think he chose a relationship with God. And I think that's sometimes where we forget. It's out of a relationship with God we choose, not out of a Sabbath. I don't choose marriage. I chose my wife, Carol. And in that experience of choosing her, I made a commitment of marriage. And I think that's an important distinction that we have to remember. Because sometimes we get caught in the thing of differentiating ourselves. Okay, well, we're this, we're this. I mean, growing up, and I still am a vegetarian, that was kind of like, well, you're always different, you know. And those kinds of things. Instead of, this is a choice out of a relationship of believing I want to take care of myself the best way. Out of a relationship with God. And I think that's an important thing that we forget at times, because it is, we do want to kind of differentiate ourselves. How are we different? How are we not quite like everybody else? And that's an okay thing, but in relationship to God, I think it's important we realize we are all family of God. And how do we create that experience of being the family of God, and what does that mean?
Sadness.
this woman is disconnected. She's disconnected from herself. She's disconnected from the ground of her being. God, she's disconnected. And I talked to her, and at the end I said, would you like to ask me any questions? I mean, you know, I always feel like in that position. Now here I'm kind of asking questions. I said, what would you like? She said, yeah. Do you believe in God? I said, yes, I do. She said, well, I'm glad because I want someone that believes in God. She said, I went to a church. I don't know what church it was. She didn't tell me. Well, I went to a church that offered free counseling. I met with the counselor, and you give a donation, and the counselor said, pray, and God can heal you, and I don't want to see you again. And I thought, what an interesting message. You know, I don't want to, I don't know what the program was. I don't know, but her impression, her experience was the counselor didn't want to meet with her again. And she comes from a very religious background, this individual, and her father was a minister and all kinds of things. So, and she said, one of the most struggle I'm having is my closest Christian friend that had been friends for years no longer wants to be my friend. And to me, that just speaks volumes about how we can be so scared of other people's experience because of our own fear that we may have to limit ourselves. We may have to say, oh, I'm not sure we can do this. Why don't you go somewhere else? Or why don't you do that? I don't know what the experience is with that friend who's deciding not to continue friendship. Maybe there's other things. I know there's always two sides. But what I was stimulated with is understanding how this woman felt like she was no longer acceptable to people that were God-fearing people, supposedly. And that's an important thing in our lives. How do we create the experience of realizing what the ministry of God's all about? You know, it talks about uplifting, and one of the days, of, I think it was on Tuesday, talked about reproof. How do we give reproof? That's an interesting one. How do we tell someone, oh, I'm not sure that's the best decision? How do we, you know, and Ellen White had that dilemma quite a bit because apparently she was shown visions about people and then we're supposed to give those people the message. How would you like to do that, James? Not sure you want to do that. I mean, that's a... Go ahead.
I don't think I'm adequate.
I had to do it only once, but to reproof somebody.
office yesterday. She needs some direction. She needs something. But more than any of that, more than quitting her behavior, she needs to start realizing that she's loved. And I think if she experiences other people being interested in loving her, that there's a God that loves her, not a God that she studied as far as a right and wrong, and that, because that's been her orientation. She comes from, I guess, a pretty strict Baptist orientation. But there's a relationship. Because when you're in a relationship with God, then you know what to do. And I think that's a powerful thing to realize, is how do we focus on that relationship? And I think, how do we say to somebody, this is what I think's best, and yet still recognize that everyone has their own choice? And that reproof is a fascinating thing as far as how we can stimulate others. I mean, as a parent, how do you do that at times? I'm in a different experience as a parent now than I've ever been before, because I'm a parent of adult children. And how do you say to your daughter, this is what I'm thinking, but I guess you have to see what it works. I don't know. Those are the things that you do. I mean, my caring, my compassion, all of that's intense. But the reality is, my two daughters each have to choose their life experience. And and I have to also realize God's working as hard for them as He is for me. God wants the best for them more than I could even imagine wanting the best for them. And sometimes that's a hard thing to let go of as a parent, thinking, wow.
It's also a massive relief.
Oh, it is a massive relief too. It is. It is a massive relief in the realizing that I can allow each of them to live their life, and that God is interested in them as much as I am. Even more. Even more.
I find it interesting along this line that when we were younger, we really had a lot of good answers.
Yeah.
I was a whole lot smarter at 20 or 30 years ago. I had answers to questions that weren't even asked.
Love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. What is this? something, and that's found in chapter 15. This is my one commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down his life for his friends. Listen to that, his friends. He's not calling us his sinners. He's not calling us his slaves. He's not calling his friends. Greater love has no one than lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now that's an interesting thing. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Well, he's just saying, this is our relationship. This is our relationship. Love one another as you love, as I have loved you. And if you do that, you are my friend. And to me, that's such an interesting thing. I remember when I was last presented of the message, of the lesson, and Ernie talked about the fact that in every kind of situation, God would always, people would bow down and God would pick him up and say, you're my friend. You know, he's not wanting us to bow down. He's wanting to pick us up and say, you're my friend. You're who I've been wanting all this time. And I think that's a powerful image, and it creates such an exciting thing to realize. How do you respond if someone's your friend? To me, that's what that's about. If I'm your friend, then what does that mean? I'm interested in you. You're interested in me. We have a reciprocal relationship. We create things that will have meaning for each other. We're aware of each other. We create relationships that will continue to develop. And that's what I heard from this woman when she said, my best friend doesn't want to talk to me anymore. I heard a sense of disconnection, a sadness. She needs a friend. She needs a friend. She needs that sense of feeling connected, that sense of feeling, I mean, her life is so segregated, you know, and it's just really fascinating how that works, because everything is, she's a great employee, she does work very well, she has her friends, and then she has the people she has sex with, and they don't, none of them mix. If I'm your friend, I can't be involved with you sexually. And it's sad to realize how segregated this person is, and it just shows you how much she's not feeling she's God's friend. Because if she feels that sense of being God's friend, then she would experience wanting to integrate her life. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. What a promise. There's nothing hidden. You don't need to go talk to somebody to get to me. I'm directly involved with you. I want a relationship. Everything that has been made known to me has been made known to you. Did they understand it? Maybe 1/100th, I don't know. Do we understand it? Maybe 2/100ths, we'll give ourselves a little credit. But I think that to me is our greatest challenge, is how do we continue to develop ourselves so we understand what does it mean to be God's friend? How does that actively do something in our life? That's the powerful thing, and that's what I think we were sharing about. Some of you were sharing and chose to share. This is what it has meant to me in my life. Where is it going from here? I don't know. What is going to develop? We don't know. But when I read these words, it's powerful meaning to me. Is everything that God, Jesus was saying, I've made known to my Father, I've made known to you. You don't need somebody else to be the intercessor. You know. And I think that speaks volumes about what God desires in our life. He desires a relationship, one in which he can be connected. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. That's an interesting thing. chose us. Now we're in the process of deciding how do we respond to that choice. What do we do to enhance and develop that choice? You know, you always, one of the things we always say, what's our choice and what's somebody else's choice? How do we all decide whose choice is what? God chose each of us. God chose me. He chose you. And how do we respond to that choice? And what do we do with that? And that's our process. That's what we're doing in our lives today, is we're deciding how to respond to that. And we're deciding that. Fascinating thing this woman said to me yesterday. She said, you know, I think I'm closer to God now than I was when I was going and being, studying so much. Because now I feel like I'm more human. And you know what I'm thinking she's saying is, I think she says is, I'm realizing that I'm not trying to do good. I'm recognizing my need. Sometimes we can get focused on the doing good and not recognize our need for God. And if we don't recognize our need for God, we are more lost than anything. Pharisee versus prodigal. That's exactly right. That's a really great point. You know, how does that happen that the Pharisee, well, come on in. Hello.
Just doing a drive-by.
Just doing a drive-by. We love you, drive-by. Fascinating thing is how this woman feels like she's more in a place where she needs God than she did when she was in the church, when she was doing all the right things. And I think that speaks to each of us. How do we recognize our need for God? Go ahead. So I think that's what's important in our lives is how do we recognize our need for God? And if we're not recognizing it, that just shows you how we're kind of deluded in a sense. We're just kind of believing everything. We can make everything all right. We can do this. We don't need this. We don't need that. We can make it all okay. And you know, working in the counseling field like I do, people come to me and they say, I want to make it all okay. I want to figure out how to be okay. And in one level, I recognize what they're there for and I try to help with that. But on a really deep level, I realize they are searching for God and they're trying all kinds of different ways to do it. And my job is to try to help them realize that search and to realize what the real sense they need, what they really need. Not just what they need to fix this problem with their marriage or fix this problem with their child or fix this problem with... Because that's just temporary. And being a therapist for many years and being in the same locations, I see people like... The wonderful thing is they come back to me. Well, they've got their divorce, they're now remarried, and here they are. And it's like, okay, well now maybe we're a little more closer to realizing your need. To me, it's an exciting thing. Oh, wow, we're really at a point where we can see something now. Before, it was just, this was the problem. But now it's, oh, maybe there's something in here that's the problem. Maybe there's something inside me that's not working right. And that, to me, is the exciting part, because then it's like, wow, we're really going to look at something now. And that's the beauty of being around for a while, and like I said, the same location, you know. And some people bring their kids back to me and say, well, you remember, I remember you worked with me now here. and it's a wonderful thing because I think we all are searching